Keep Us Together as the Lights Go Dark by 36 Save Files. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, The Untamed RPF. Character, Wanibo. The settlement leader's handshake is firm, honest, or at least, in W1B0's experience. People who apply this kind of pressure think of themselves as honest, and expect the same from others. That makes his job easier. W1B0 smiles, the kind calculated for enthusiasm and appreciation. "You've accomplished a lot out here. I'm really impressed," he says, letting go of Dareth's hand and settling his sling bag over his shoulder. "What you've done with the soil grade alone is worth a whole chapter at least."
"Be sure to get my name right in your book," Sai pipes up, eyes lighting up as he bounces on his toes. "It's S-A-I.
"He knows," Dareth interrupts, but the hand he settles on his son's shoulder is gentle. "Kel's been here a month. He knows everyone's name by now, right?"
W1B0 does. He has them all recorded, along with notes on the settlement's layout, infrastructure, and the psyllium deposit it lies on, ready to transmit as soon as he gets back into open space.
"I won't forget," W1B0 says, crouching so he can look Sai in the eye. S-A-I. "I'll send you a copy when it's published, okay?" Sai beams, and his father shakes his head. "I guess people will read anything these days. No offense," he adds. "None taken." W1B0 grins easily, straightening. "It's pretty dry subject matter."
Dareth folds his arms.
"Must be a market for it if it brought you all the way out here." "There's a market for everything," W1B0 agrees. And that much, at least, is true. Farewells take a little longer. The whole settlement has come to see him off, it seems. And it's at least another 20 minutes before W1B0 waves the last goodbye and turns to trudge off to where he'd landed, on the far edge of the grain fields. A few of the settlement dogs run along with him, but they turn back before he's even halfway there, called back by their owners. W1B0 sympathizes. His boarding ramp extends before him, and he turns to wave one last time, holding the pleasant, amiable expression. Unlikely that anyone can actually see his face from this distance, but the protocol for interaction is to maintain a pleasant demeanor anywhere from touchdown to takeoff, regardless of potential for discovery. W1B0 has never been discovered. He is very good at what he does. It's what he was built for, a purpose threaded in every line of code, in every rivet, in every action. W1B0 waves again as he lifts off, hands settling on the control board, in case someone has a set of telescopics or something similar. He rises up through the atmosphere, through the cloud banks into the wispy upper layers, and finally into the cool vacuum of space. It's not until he's fully bathed in starlight that he lets himself stop breathing, lifting his hands from the board and pressing them together as he leans forward, resting his forearms on his knees. He swings into an easy orbit as he stares at his hands. For the keen-eyed, below, he might be invisible as a fast-moving star. If they're lucky, it will be the last they ever see of him. If they're lucky. If they say yes. W1B0 blinks, and he's seeing Sai, bouncing with more energy than his 8-year-old body seemed to be able to handle, as he showed W1B0 the best places to hide. In the middle of a grain field, in the rafters of the central barn, in the caves behind the settlements. The caves had sparkled even in the dim light of their headlamps. Sai had been the one to show W1B0 how the soil in the field sparkled too, underneath the top layers. Surely they will say yes, for Sai's sake, if nothing else. W1B0 blinks again, and he's seeing Dareth, walking him through the soil amendments, the crop rotations, year after year of lean yields, until they'd hit upon a grain that grew like a weed in the lustrous soil. Cadza grain kept for ages, kept the settlement fed. It had really turned things around for them, Dareth had admitted in a moment of quiet pride. W1B0 could have told him Cadza thrived in an alkaline-rich environment, like the basilium-enriched soil underlying the settlement. Instead, he had nodded, taking notes he wouldn't use on the hand reader he didn't need. Dareth will accept the company's terms, W1B0 tells himself, and it feels like as much of a lie as the book he's not writing. Maybe he won't need to come back here. Maybe Dareth will accept what's coming for them. Even if he doesn't, maybe W1B0 won't be the one tasked with ensuring compliance. The settlement blueprint he'd put together flashes before his eyes. The water tower will go first, so there's no ready supply when the grain storehouse is set ablaze. Without any way to control the fire, the rest of the settlement will go quickly. The company will do all it can for the survivors, of course. Within a month, the company town will be built over the ashes of the settlement. In a year, there will be no sign there was ever anything else. Something hits W1B0's hands, and he blinks furiously. He hasn't initiated any of his crying subroutines, but the tears keep coming, rolling down his cheeks and splashing over his folded hands. This is his purpose. This is what he was built for. W1B0 presses his hands harder together, as if the strain in his arms will introduce some clarity to his processes. The file on the settlement is neatly packaged, ready for transmission. He's well out of range of the settlement by now. If they're lucky. If W1B0 is lucky. He'll never come back here. This is what he was built for. This is his purpose. It's not enough. The thought alone almost strips his central processor, and he redistributes the load automatically, turning the idea over carefully. He makes himself take in a breath and let it out again to help his cooling processes as all his systems kick up. W1B0 is company property, built for company purpose. This is all he's ever known. He barely knows how to think about anything else. But he can't stop thinking about buildings engulfed in flame, about hollow-eyed survivors, about the ones who won't make it. W1B0 calls up the file on the settlement, 64 names in all, and he knows each one of their faces, and readies the transmit codes. He breathes. In and out. Inhale. Exhale. He can't. He can't. His processors scream as his purpose urges him to complete the transaction, to send the file and close the loop. One more mission completed. One more settlement, 64 more lives irrevocably changed. Even with his cooling systems at full capacity, W1B0 can feel his face flushing, and he wavers slightly as he pushes himself to his feet. He keeps a hand on the wall as he makes his way out of the cockpit, down the hallway, and drops to his knees before an unassuming panel. The panel seams and splits open, and W1B0 hisses out a breath through his teeth as his purpose comes into view, clamped into place and blinking away peacefully. W1B0 wishes, with a ferocity that surprises him, that he could have that peace back. The electroclamps are troubling, but he doesn't have the tools to unlock them, and doesn't have time to go find them. Even now he can feel the urge to transmit crawling up his spine, and he's diverting several secondary processes into holding it back. He won't be able to hold out for long, not with his purpose pulling inexorably at him. W1B0 reaches in, wincing at the static as he closes his fingers around his purpose. He shuts his eyes and firms his grip, shoulder tensing. The loud tsst of electrical discharge fills his ears, and everything tilts as his vision goes white and staticky. W1B0 slides against the floor as his trajectory destabilizes, and he's screaming, screaming through his teeth because it hurts, in a way that he'd never thought anything could. His throat feels raw, and his insides feel like they've been scoured out, and he pries his eyes open to see purpose clutched in his hand. The board and his hand are smeared with a soot-like discharge from the blown clamps. The lights are dull and lifeless. And something raw inside W1B0 feels the same. He'd done this to himself. He'd wanted this, but the aching void inside him is threatening to empty his stomach, or his skull, or something, and he almost retches, bracing his free hand against the floor. His hand is clamped white-knuckled around his purpose, and he tries to make himself let go, but he can't. Fingers stiff and unresponsive. He looks over at the compartment, where the blackened and cracked casing is still spitting electrical discharge, and W1B0 wants to cry. He is crying, he realizes, the tears cascading silently down his cheeks without call or function. He wipes his free arm over his face, shifting to rest his back against the wall. His fingers still won't let go of his purpose, so maybe he'll just hold on to it for a little while. If the growing void inside him doesn't consume him first, if he doesn't fall out of orbit and burn up on reentry, the searing emptiness pulls at him, and it might consume him yet, but the compulsion to send the file is gone. W1B0 plucks it from the outgoing comms channel and deletes it. It's easy. So easy, W1B0 almost gags on it. W1B0 closes his eyes, fingers clamped tight around his purpose. He waits. But the world doesn't end. He had half thought it might, had more than half wished it would. The yawning ache inside him doesn't recede exactly, but it does eventually settle. He can breathe around it, at least. And when that even becomes too much, he can stop breathing, let his systems settle, let them build new routines around the hole in his center. Eventually, even the tears stop, and all that's left is silence and emptiness. W1B0, except he can't be W1B0 anymore, can he? W1B0 is company property. W1B0 has purpose. He has emptiness and the void of space and a blackened and charred control board in his fingers. He has his breathing protocols, in and out. Inhale, exhale. He can't be W1B0 anymore. He'll have to think of something else. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And now a brief moment of reader free talk because, oh my gosh, you got feelings. This is so good. I love these knives so, so much. This was a delightful little piece that just like stabbed me in the chest. And so I immediately knew I had to record it. So thank you so much to 36A Files for saying yes to that. I am delighted to be able to voice this piece. Particularly when I first read it, the repeated line of he can't, was just like, I immediately really, really, really wanted to read that. It just sounded like it should be audio. I don't know. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. It's short and delightful and, you know, murder on the feelings and all that. And of course, this is the prequel to another much longer and super delightful as well, fic. You Can Take My Heart and Hold It Together, which is more delightful Yibot feelings with bonus Xiaoxian as well. Highly recommend. It's great. So if you enjoyed this, you'll probably enjoy that even more. So if you're interested, you should go read that and leave the author some feedback on this. And if you want to leave me any feedback, you're also welcome to do that as well. Thanks.